Hey everyone, it's Henry, Mike, and Chris of Decentralization Education. Now, Decentralization Education is our short 10 to 15 minute segment where we explain technology terms and topics that we often reference during our regular podcast, The Decentralists. This time, a question that I think many people know, or do they? Mike, what exactly is encryption?
I think if I was to try to stand up at a chalkboard with, you know, like in a math class and explain encryption, nobody would get it, right? Because that's kind of the intent. Encryption is mathematics. And, you know, it's kind of like, I want to say predictive mathematics, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So the idea is encryption is, kind of one of the first, let's say, algorithms, right? I mean, the first time you remember hearing about encryption, there was that movie last year or the year before on Alan Turing and the
yes.
You know, the Nazi Enigma machine, which was like a cipher, they used to call them,
yeah,
or a cryptographer. That's what encryption is, right? So that, you know, that back in the war, the Germans would type something into a typewriter, and the typewriter had an algorithm built in, okay, mathematical, that said, you know, just to make it easy, on Tuesday, whenever you type a key, when you type an A, it's not an A, it's the key right beside it on the left. And on Wednesday, when you type an A, it's the key right beside it on the right. And the idea is you would have this garbled kind of,
it's gibberish.
It's nonsense, right? It's a piece of paper that has a bunch of numbers and letters and stuff all over it, right? It means nothing. It doesn't translate into any language. You can't point at that and say, oh, it says shoes. But if you have the key, right? And that's why they often talk about encryption keys, because encryption itself, you know, if I took any document or a picture, say, and I basically applied a mathematical algorithm to it to scramble up all the words, and then I did not have the key, which is the way to solve the scramble.
Yeah, then go backwards.
The theory is nobody can ever figure out what the original cipher was.
Okay.
And so the idea is that if you take a piece of data, like I said, a letter or a contract, and you run it through an algorithm that scrambles it up. Or sometimes what they do, for example, Henry, is they scramble up your email address so that when you send an email to somebody, you'll see this string of numbers and random gobbledygook.
Yep.
And that means that, okay, you can click a button, right? Like a good example is for all of you out here who've ever used Craigslist. Okay, so you go on Craigslist and you hit reply and you'll see this email that pops up and it's like 100 characters long and it says blah, 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 at craigslist.com or something. And it's because what they've done is they've taken your actual address, your actual contact information, and rather than just posting it so anybody can know where you live, come to your house and steal that guitar you want to sell them, right? There's this gobbledygook address, so it protects you and me. It doesn't stop you and me from communicating. But what it does is it makes it hard for anybody in the middle who's listening or who potentially, say, receives that information. And like, you know, you sent it to me and all of a sudden Chris picked it up. They can't read it because they don't have the key.
Right.
So encryption is basically any piece of information that has a mathematical equation which says, you know, the letter plus 6 is the real letter. Something simple like that. You then scramble up the words and it's not readable by anybody unless they know the solution to the problem.
Okay. So it seems that everything that we use these days is encrypted for security purposes, because we hear the word all the time. I guess there was a time when not everything was. But the fact is, how come that hasn't solved any issues?
You know, because I think the idea is simply because in a lot of cases, encryption isn't the problem. Okay. So, you know, like some things are encrypted, right? So you look at, say, a lot of times messaging systems are encrypted.
Right. End to end, they say.
End to end, they say, but they're not end to end because, you know, Facebook can still contact you through WhatsApp, right? I mean, they're popping up a thing on May 15th saying you need to accept this. Well, how can they do that if it's encrypted end to end? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so you got to think about these.
Well, they own the key, Mike, I guess.
Well, that, and there you go, right? I mean, how fair is that? Wait a second. So I have this encrypted messaging system that I'm supposed to have the keys to, but basically every time I cut a set of keys, a second one gets cut and Mark Zuckerberg puts it on his ring. You know? So this is the type of thing where encryption is meant to allow anybody to secure anything they want to send to someone for whatever reason they want, as long as they give the end user the key to read it. And so there's good things. You can send pictures of your friends. You can communicate with your grandkids or whatever, secure that in the knowledge that nobody's reading it, because there's a key that is used by you, Henry, to basically garble everything up, and a key that's used by your grandson to ungarble everything. But there's also negatives, hey? The key is the important part, because at the end of the day, you look at this, you remember this Quadriga crypto scandal where basically $200 million worth of cryptocurrency went up in smoke because it was on an encrypted cryptocurrency exchange and the founder passed away with the key in his head. Like he literally had the password.
And it may have been a couple of words or a sentence or something.
Could have been a couple of words. Or, like sometimes that's what it is. Cryptocurrency wallets, often what they do is they'll just barf up 7 random words and that's your encryption key, right? If you forget that, goodbye. So the danger of encryption is not everything should be encrypted. Not everything, you know, that you have should be garbled up, because if you need quick access, if you need to share it, if it's something that's not super important, It's better to leave it out, actually, so that you don't end up in a situation where you're like, oh, I forgot the password. Oh, there goes my entire cryptocurrency fortune.
Okay, so essentially what you said is encryption is fantastic. It works. You have to have the key. However, in the centralized model that Facebook has, WhatsApp, and all these other messaging systems, they're the ones who provide the key, so they have it as well. So indeed, there's not really any privacy because they can look at what you're doing at any time.
Absolutely. If it's got a forgot password link, it's not yours.
Okay, so how does this relate to our Peer Social and ManyOne?
So what we've done is we are using encryption as the actual basis of the connection between two people. Okay, so where we differ with encryption, normally encryption would be Henry has a document, Henry applies an algorithm to that document, garbles up the contents, and then sends a copy to me and gives me the key to open it. Okay? What we do is we take it one step further. Henry, you create a key that allows me to access you. And then I create a key that allows you to access me. And then when we exchange those keys, so I give you my key, you give me your key, those are combined into a shared address that we have where we can, by clicking a button, I could talk directly to you, not through a server, not through Zuckerberg, not through Google. And it doesn't, and I no longer have to actually encrypt all the different things I send you, because it's a channel between the two of us. It's called a session and it's open.
It's either open or it's closed.
It's open or it's closed. So now, you know, I remember back in the early days of encryption having to encrypt a hard drive on my laptop, and it was like a small hard drive, like 2 gigs. It took like a day. No, seriously, it took a day because you had to literally scan every file and then garble them all up and then reload them. Whereas with us, it's like, no, let's not do that. Henry, you and I trust each other. We've shared an encrypted key so that, because we don't want other people seeing our conversations, right? And that's enough for the two of us to feel safe and secure to communicate.
Okay, so with ManyOne, it's like two neighbors beside each other, and they just gave each other a key to their house because they trust each other.
Yep, and if all of a sudden you don't like your neighbor, right? You know, your neighbor gets up at 6 a.m. every Saturday and mows his lawn. Then you just get up one morning, you know, when your neighbor goes to work on Monday, you call the locksmith. The locksmith comes and changes the key to your house. That key that you gave your neighbor no longer works. He can no longer get into your house, and it's all over. Done.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's that's inherent in many one. You can choose who you want to communicate with, and if it no longer is beneficial for either one of you, you can stop it.
Moderate yourself. That's the wonderful thing about basing a private network and a private set of communications, Henry, on encryption keys. Because there's two sides to every key, right? There's two locks, there's two keys. We both need to open them. So by using that as the basis for the channels of communication, anybody can break it at any time. And unlike all these other guys, I don't know your phone number. I don't know your email address. I don't know where you live, because you don't have to share any of that with me. But we can talk. And all of a sudden, if I start going crazy or you start going crazy, we break the key. Either of us can. And it's all good. We've moderated ourselves. Life is good again.
Thank you very much, Mike. That was a quick one.
That was a quick one. Thank you, Henry.